A Night In is brought to you by Ashwood Music.
I'm Nick Elliott, rock art photographer, and we're having a night in.
Well, here we are again. Another night in. And Kev, you're back again.
Absolutely,
fantastic.
Mate. Wouldn't have missed it for the world.
Bloody marvellous. Great to see you.
Enjoyed the last one.
Second time in a fortnight.
In a fortnight.
Absolutely brilliant. I knew you couldn't stop away. or did her indoors lock you out? Is that what it was?
It's the cake, mate.
Well, the cake, you all are. Yeah, I mean, that last one. Oh, dear. Busting, man.
It was.
Yeah. No, welcome, my lifelong friend, Kev Perkins. I went to school with this guy. Hell's teeth.
Yeah, some of those days I think we'd best forget.
Mind you, I think we ought to kind of pride ourselves that you can actually, after all this time, and you went to school, obviously, as we all did, with people, as we all did, but to actually keep in contact.
Absolutely.
With people
absolutely.
That you sat across the food desks from.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I think we ought to kind of, praise ourselves for that.
Yeah, I've got a memory now. I think it's a memory.
I've got one,
but it could be completely wrong.
Memory.
Could be wrong. When we used to do cross country,
yep.
Did we used to call at your mum's house for a slice of cake and a cup of tea?
Yes.
And then catch on the tail end of them when they came back?
That's what he used to do.
Yeah. I thought we did, but I didn't know if it was my memory playing tricks with me.
No, I live just on the corner.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Marvellous. Yeah. Well, all this cross country. What is that? I fucking running and shit. Dear, oh dear. I've been running for that. Well, since then, I'm still running. And you? Still on the run.
Bit of a Forrest Gump going on.
Oh, now. I did. Yeah. Run, Forrest, run. But how you been, Kev?
I've been good, mate. Thank you.
You're looking well.
Yeah, thank you very much, mate. And yourself?
No, great. I'm so glad that, mate, you could make it again so quickly.
Yeah.
Which is really nice.
Not an issue. I really enjoyed the last one, as I say.
I know it's getting bloody cold again. Oh, dear. It's wicked, man. Winter's in.
What have we got? Is it... Oh, crikey. Somebody was telling me how many days to Christmas, but I'd sooner forget that one.
Them kind of people usually club to death, don't they? Hey, all these people who put out on Facebook, you know, June 1,
oh, yeah,
3
yeah,
million yeah, days to yeah. Christmas, you know.
Yeah,
the one Father that, Christmas will be we in
the
about
one that gets
10
me
zillion
is,
hours.
I need a hug, share me, and I think, you need a life, you don't need a hug.
I'm just afraid they thought about that, you know. Go to the neighbours, knock on their fucking door. You know, there must be somebody who is huggable.
I'll give you a virtual.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll give you a kick up the arse, mate. That's what you do.
Have we got a thing about lonely people? Is that what we're saying?
Well, no, not really. It's just.
Are you sure?
I just don't get the
You're not badly influenced.
I just don't get the concept. I just don't get the
What
concept.
Are people wanting hugs or people telling
well,
you?
Virtual hugs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That is odd, isn't it? It is odd.
Yeah. Yeah, we all like a hug, don't we? But I'd sooner be in front of the person I'm
hugging. Yeah, hoping. Yeah. It's got to be, you know, real time,
yeah,
isn't
there
it?
Needs to be a fair bit of personal contact, really.
I would have said so.
To make a hug.
Yeah.
A hug.
Yeah.
Or viable.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I totally agree. What have we got this week? What have you brought?
We've got a little mixed bag for you.
We're still getting into this mellow kind of vibe
we're
going
a bit,
on. There's a couple of artists on there, one particular, that, I think possibly a lot of the listeners won't actually know much about this guy.
No, I don't think you...
I didn't know much about this guy. I did some work. He featured in one of my last folk books that I did, 50 Folk.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which was my personal celebration of 50 years of the Cambridge Folk Festival. And the time that I'd worked it over that period, not 50 years, admittedly, but I think probably about 12.
Really? Yeah. Really? Good festival.
And it is a good festival.
I was just saying it's one that we need to get back to be fair. I haven't done it for a few years. In fact, I think, I wouldn't really like to think how long ago it is, but it's probably time to get the tent out because it's a nice little friendly...
It's really good. I think the last time I worked it, which was I did all the images for the 50th anniversary, which I think was 3 or 4 years ago, but I'm not too sure now.
Yeah. I'll go back a lot further than that. I bet it's, I bet it's 10 or 11 years since
what
I
were
went.
You last went?
Mm, I bet it is.
Christ, I won't tell you where the first one I went to. It was a hell of a long time ago. 70s.
Really?
Yeah, when they used to do it on the back of a truck.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of vibe. Yeah. Really strange.
Yeah, I saw some really good artists there. I've seen some good artists over the time. Yeah. But,
The Cambridge Folk Festival is a really good festival. But let me spin this guy because I really enjoyed him. And until I did the stuff with him for the 50th, I didn't know who he was.
Mm.
But he's an American, and need you say anymore?
No, absolutely not.
Bit of pokey lethargy. Is this good or what?
For a non-dancer to be tempted to dance, that's exactly where this guy gets me. And I knew nothing about him. I first became aware of him on Jules Holland.
Oh, really? You saw him on there?
Yeah. That was the very first time I saw him.
Yeah. Very shy when I met him.
Was he?
Extremely shy.
Really?
Wouldn't do any interviews or nothing.
Really? I mean, he just needs to brush up on that banjo technique a bit, doesn't he?
Why Pokey Lethargy?
Why Pokey Lethargy?
Yeah.
It just makes me happy. It's just
a great name.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it reminds me of the. It can take you wherever this. You can go wherever you want to go with this one, but for me, it just takes me to a happy place, and that's good enough for me.
Had you heard much of his stuff?
Nothing.
Really?
Absolutely nothing.
Only this track, and you.
That's the very first time I'd ever.
Really?
Yeah.
I love the guy. I just loved it. Like I say, I knew nothing about him until the 50th anniversary Cambridge Folk Festival.
Yeah.
I don't think he headlined. I'm sure he didn't. But he was quite well up the bill.
Wasn't that? I have a feeling that it might have been the time he was on Jules Holland. He might have been. Was he on a little mini tour or something as well? I don't know. Possibly.
Yeah.
See, this one takes me back to the Mini Namucha, that sort of style of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the old Blues Brothers.
Yeah. Well, it's of that kind of 30s, 40s
absolutely.
Vibe, isn't it? That, you know, kind of Art Deco feel.
One of my favourite periods for the fashion and the whole.
Yeah, definitely.
The whole.
Oh, glamour.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's very nostalgic. It was a nice era. I'm not big into the trains of that era, the steam train era, but the glamour that went with it, and it was just a different time, wasn't it?
Totally, yeah. Totally.
Definitely a cocked finger for a cup of tea, and you know.
That is so good. So
it
good.
Is good.
I love it.
It is
I love
good.
It. I don't know whether I could buy an album. I don't think I probably could.
I've had a go at some of his stuff on, obviously on the old interweb, and I'm a bit the same. I would have to be a bit picky.
Yeah.
And that would be the time when I possibly did download. But there is some good stuff out there, but I'm a bit like you. I don't think I could do an old album.
No, I doubt it. I doubt it. No, I could do an album of this guy. I know we spoke about him the other week when he was around here. One of my all-time heroes. And this guy changed my life. So a bit of Rory Gallagher.
Yeah, Rory Gallagher. There's really not a lot you can say, is there? You just got to.
No,
sit,
I think it's best sit, not to say. Just
listen,
isn't it?
Just
got to
sit back and listen,
yeah.
You? I think you have got to just sit back and listen.
I got invited by a record label and his family to a commemorative night to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the Irish tour, Rory Gallagher's Irish tour.
Oh, right, yeah.
A couple of 3 years ago, in the Irish Embassy in London, And I went down and met his brother, who I'd never met before.
Really?
Who was his manager, his life manager.
Yeah.
And we kind of spoke of the first night I saw him, Cambridge Coin Exchange, probably about 72, 73, around about that time. And now the guy changed my life, literally changed my life. And he's a very, very inspirational figure of why I do what I do today. Just fantastic, man. And still never tire of listening.
No, unfortunately, I never got to see him. I wish, you know, but again, I got into him late.
Yeah.
Odd thing, really, but, you know, I'm still getting into people now.
Yeah, yeah, so, well, there's no wrong with that, is there?
No, no, no.
Leave it till you die, yeah, then stop getting into people.
Stop getting into Yeah. Ain't many people been influenced by him, though, is there? My word.
Oh, dear. Seriously good.
Yeah.
Difficult when you're kind of trying to put a playlist together of this kind of vibe anyway. But to think, I want to play a Rory Gallagher track, which one do you play?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Any of them.
Yeah.
Anything you wanted to pick.
That's right. Well, you can't minimalise it, and you shouldn't. What about, what do you stand on Hendrix? Were you a big Hendrix fan?
I had a couple of Jimi Hendrix albums. I had the double, which was a really lovely compilation.
Mm.
I mean, he was the dude, he was the man.
Oh, yeah.
Did I buy much of his stuff? No, not really.
I didn't
probably
much.
About three or four.
Yeah.
But for me, it was this guy, it was Humble Pie, the Ground Dogs.
Yeah.
You know, they were my kind of, obviously Led Zeppelin, Cream, massive. But this guy was of that time, this guy was the band doing it. You know, Taste, first introduction to Rory Gallagher's band Taste, at Live at the Isle of Wight. And I just used to spend days listening to this kind of stuff. You know, essentially a blues rooted, you know, genre. But no, I mean, I think Jimi Hendrix, he definitely, he stretched the whole thing, but this guy kept it really where I wanted to be at the time.
Yeah. I mean, well, Hendrix was very experimental, there's no two ways about it. Whether he actually played the same chords for the same song, I don't know.
Or whether anybody knew.
No, anybody knew. I mean,
his band didn't know, did
they? I don't think they did. No. No, that Star Spangled Banner, I mean, he just went off on one, didn't he?
Dear, oh dear.
Where did it...
It's funny because talking about knowing where bands are going or your set list, etc. I had a friend round to have a night in a couple of weeks ago called Mick Steve, musician of some serious repute. And we were talking about Chuck Berry.
How
I missed out on actually working with Chuck Berry and how he was legendary for... Nobody ever known what he was doing or when he was going to do it. He just did tip up, play a few tunes.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. Well, that's how that was what it was all about, though, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I mean,
it was.
He came from that era, didn't he? I mean, I mentioned that I've always been a Dylan fan. I've always admired Dylan, again, for the poetry. But he was influenced by Woody Guthrie, who spent all his life on the road.
Yeah.
You know, and... your namesake, I believe, as well, was a Travelling Jack Elliott, I believe, wasn't there? Who spent all his days on
was
the road.
Was it? I don't know.
I think that,
really?
Yeah, Travelling Jack Elliott.
What, spelt the same way as
I
me?
Think
double
so.
L, double T?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. B.B. King was doing pretty much the same thing, didn't he?
Yeah.
Just out there virtually 365 days of the year. Yes, I can see where you're coming from, especially at the time in the life, your life when you were listening to the gigs you're into and stuff. So
this is dark room, sitting in this room, you know, smoking yourself shit faced, usually shit faced, And with a selection of friends, girls, whatever. Always an intimate vibe in my bedroom, I've got to say. But just fantastic. Just, yeah, Rory. Rory.
I must admit, I've sort of gone a little bit more down the folk route now, listening to an awful lot of folk stuff. I think the reason being, I got a little bit fed up with the new bands that were coming out. So right. I started looking a little bit deeper into, well, I guess really to be fair, I suppose, having listened to Dylan and people like that was always folksy anyway. So I suppose it was just going back to where I started from in effect. I sort of dropped off the blues scene because it wasn't getting done anymore anyway. Because you've got to revisit. There's not a great lot out there being done nowadays.
No, this new.
No.
Is there?
No.
Nothing is really new. A lot of the American stuff, I'm a bit, I've certainly mentioned a lot to a lot of friends that have been round here to do nights in, I'm a huge American music fan.
Yeah.
And some of the new American guys coming through. Great bands. And I've been fortunate to work with a lot of them.
Yeah.
Over the recent years.
That band I was talking to you about, the Doors, I mean, they're big in America, and they're not cutting it over here as far as I'm aware.
Are they American band?
I was listening to the radio, and it was Paul Heaton. It was one of his tracks of his years.
Beautiful South, yeah.
What a prolific writer and pair they are, aren't
shot
they?
That guy in the very early days of me doing a lot of work at the Cambridge Folk Festival.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
Heaton and Rotheray.
Really?
Yeah.
Really,
yeah, I've always Thursday night opening act.
I own nothing by Beautiful South, but I love the lyrics. I love the band, and I was pleased when he got back with Jackie Abbott. Really, to be fair, because they're good writers.
House Martins before or after? Beautiful South. I can never remember.
Before. It was before.
I think so.
Yeah, well, that'd be a period of my life when I possibly wasn't listening to a lot of new stuff then either.
Right.
In fact, it would have been, I'm guessing, really, to be honest with you. But as I said, I own nothing by Beautiful South, but I've always admired their writing.
Yeah, some good stuff.
There's some damn good writers out there. And, I mean, Gilbert O'Sullivan.
Did his last album in Nashville.
Yeah?
He did.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did his last album in Nashville. Marvellous place. Nashville.
Yeah, never been to America.
Fantastic. Worked out there a couple of three times. Never been to America.
No.
Oh, one of the biggest thrills of our life. God, what a country.
Always keep saying to Lynn, that's on my bucket list, and Nashville's it.
Fantastic place. I loved every minute of every minute I've spent there. Yeah. I've loved it. Absolutely love it. Love it. Love the Americans. Everything is coming off the same sheet as me.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. Talking about that, what have we got here? Here's an American band. I think they're an American band.
Aye. Absolutely.
Going down your folk route.
You see, again, makes a non-dancer want to dance.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Good fiddle.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Again, I think I might have seen this band at one point in time, but I can't remember when.
Really?
Yeah.
Good video accompanies this particular. I mean, this track was actually written by Dylan.
Right.
Now I don't know if he didn't finish it. It was for the Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid.
Oh, okay. Sessions. Yeah, the film.
But I don't think he finished it. And this guy, I think, heard it on a bootleg copy of a Dylan album.
Yeah.
And wrote the rest of the lyrics, and the rest is history. And I think it's actually been covered now, and I think it's been overworked by a country artist, Darius Rucker.
Right.
And it gets a lot of airplay now.
Right, okay.
Whereas this, you've got to go and search this one out because it wasn't.
I know even on, should I mention it, iTunes, other download
platforms
are available. But that's where I get, stuff that I haven't already got. But they were difficult to track down.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot. In actual fact, I was pretty concerned I might not be able to get the track.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to search for it.
Yeah, you have.
You've got to want to hear it.
Yeah, yeah. But it is worth listening to, isn't it?
I think the first time I heard it was a local band in Peterborough.
Really?
Yeah, Les Woods.
Oh, okay. Doing a cover.
Yeah. And that was the first time I heard it. First time I heard it. And then I was round his house. Tea and cake, obviously, but
it's got to be done.
Mentioned it again, and he said, well, you know it's a Dylan number, don't you? And I said, no, I didn't. I said, I hadn't bothered. I heard you and Penny do it. And took any more notice of it than that. And so then I went out and searched for it. But,
yeah, good track.
Oh, yeah, I was just saying.
Some of the stuff you brought, Kev, I really like. Yeah. I really like. Yeah. I mean, obviously, yeah, I'm a rock art photographer, that's what I do, and people kind of associate me very much with that genre and don't cross over, but that's not strictly true.
I don't think it can be.
Not at all.
You've got to stay open-minded, otherwise you might as well forget it. My opinion, anyway.
I totally agree. Great violin. Great.
It is. As I say, there's a really good video to accompany this one. As I say, it's been covered again by Darius Rucker, but he hasn't. I did have a listen to it because it changed very little about it.
Right.
Which I don't know whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, really. I mean, I don't know whether. But then, if it's not broke, don't try and fix it.
No, definitely.
You know,
definitely.
So go with it.
Shall I tell you what? Shall I introduce tonight's king?
I think you'd better add. Now,
we've kind of had a debate over this.
Well, I'm not really sure about it, to be fair, if I'm honest.
What do we say? It's a salted caramel cake.
Now, that should they actually be mentioned in the same sentence?
I don't know whether salted caramel. Yeah.
It's a bit about the Peter Kay cheesecake thing, isn't it? The cheesecake sketch.
Yeah, I suppose it is.
Cheesecake.
I like a bit of Peter.
No,
I like a bit of Peter.
So do I.
But no, I think it looks good. Yeah. It looks a great cake.
Let's give it a crack, man.
I'll leave that to you, because you're the one with the family.
I'll see if I can make a little bit better job of this one than the last one.
I do like American folk fiddle players.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent.
What's not to like?
Excellent. Thank you, Kev.
You're welcome, mate.
Marvellous, my man. Now, I'm going to play something here that is a true delight for me. Funnily, because that's one of the words in the title. But having researched for the shows, knowing you was coming in, and over for the evening, an album that I got reintroduced to, I bought this album for my dad for his birthday. And to be honest, I never owned a lot of Paul McCartney stuff. But I bought this album. It's an album called Ram. That he did with Linda. And really, it was the first kind of creation before he went into the Wings type of you know, area. And the album was just purely called Ram. Got a really shitty, awful front cover, but it has got some wonderful music on it. And this is one of my favourites.
Let's have a listen.
It's called Monkberry Moon Delight. And only McCartney could get away with this.
So he got that off a menu, didn't he?
Well, he must have done. It was something like that. But it's absolutely brilliant.
He got that off a menu.
Absolutely brilliant.
Well, I can honestly tell you I've never heard it.
Now, you being a lyric man, you listen to the lyrics. It's absolutely brilliant. Good day.
I've changed my mind about salt and caramel.
That is bloody marvellous, isn't it?
It's nice. Yeah. Well, that's me going out and buying a new one, a new old one.
Good. I love it.
Definitely.
There's not a bad track on it.
Yeah, I think I've had some of that Monkberry Moon Delight.
in a bowl or anybody I know.
No.
There were some Bond girls there.
Yeah, there was.
Lick that.
Yeah, I'd rather not.
Always damn new game.
Yeah.
Only he could get away with this.
Yeah. Yes, I totally agree.
I think only he would have actually even created it.
Never got into Paul McCartney and Wings, though, I've got to be honest.
No, no, mate.
Couldn't hack it at all.
No. Probably Live and Let Die.
Yeah.
That's until Axl Rose got hold of it, and yeah, then he really took it somewhere else. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Totally agree. I think a lot of bands, I think a lot of stuff I actually totally dismiss without listening to. Because Lynn will tell me off sometimes, say, you need to sit and listen to this,
right,
because you're just classing it as a load of tosh without really listening. And she's, well, I don't put this out on air, but she's usually right. But
yeah, best not.
Yeah,
but keep that under the table.
No, keep that one.
Because I haven't seen your wife, Lynn, for ages.
Yeah, she's
she well?
She's been a bit, well, she's actually, she had a week in hospital, unfortunately.
Right.
Just prior to us. Prior to us going up to Sheffield, so I had to push her around in a wheelchair.
Oh dear.
We had one of my son's friends' wedding on the Friday in Leicester. So we were going on to Sheffield. We were going to see a thing called Peace Train. It's the Cat Stevens story. Now, I'm not a big fan of tribute acts as such, but it was pretty much the only way you were going to see it. It was in the County Hall in Sheffield. It was
an
intimate little venue.
Yep.
And I thoroughly enjoyed it, but unfortunately I was pushing around a wheelchair, so it's not bloody fun. I didn't realise everywhere in England was uphill.
In Yorkshire.
Until you get a bloody wheelchair, you don't realise. But we had a bit of a crack because we stopped in a hotel just outside the arena, Sheffield Arena. And at the Apollo, which is the Apollo, O2 Apollo, isn't it?
I think it is in Sheffield.
They've got a rock festival going on. A lot of the bands were staying there. We had a wicked time with them.
Oh, wonderful.
When they came back. Yeah, I thought it was good. There was me smuggling bloody wine up to the room. They were on milkshakes.
But rock's gone a bit that way now.
Yeah, a lot of Eastern European bands.
Really?
Mm.
Yeah. Mind you, massive out there.
Yeah.
Hard rock.
Yeah.
It's a good track.
It is a good track.
That is a great, great album. I will buy the album again.
Oh, I think I'm going to have to get it. Without a shadow of a doubt. Well, I'm going to have to get it.
Now, this is another guy that I did some work with. Also featured in Talking About Sheffield.
Mm.
Go back to his hometown. Bit of Richard Hawley.
This
Oh, sorry, he's gone. I hit the wrong button, Kev. Anyway, let's go up north. One of my favourite films of all time.
I'm not a big film buff, so you're going to have to fill me in on this one.
Michael Caine.
Oh, yeah.
Get Carter.
Yeah, Get Carter.
1971.
Yeah.
We'll come back to Richard Hawley.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not a big film. I stopped after Toy Story, the original.
Right. Well, I was going to mention, because, you know, I tend to kind of, people who come round, what about films, Eddie Phil, you know, Eddie has got to stand on film scores and stuff like that, you know, so I was going to mention it, you know, and this was, again, from 1971, very much around our era.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's films and film scores, I've got to be honest, film scores I know very, very little about. Films I know even less about. I've got to be in the mood to... I can't sit still for long, which is why I don't watch TV.
Right.
I read a lot because I can take the book with me, which is, you know, it's not an issue. But and I've got to really be in the mood to sit and watch a film. I mean, there's been some terrific drama on TV, so they tell me.
Yeah.
But if it gets past two episodes, I'm bored. And I haven't got that.
I know you mentioned that you're not much of a TV, but I won't say I'm a TV fan. Not at all, Kevin.
No.
I'm not a mega film fan. But in saying that, the influence that kind of the old British black and whites have had on what I do and why I do it is massive. Films was a very, very big part of my life by growing up. My mum and dad were heavily involved in cinema. So, but you kind of, your Ealing comedies, your John Mills, you know, them kind of Michael Redgrave films, you know, the Great War kind of propaganda films and that. Wonderful, man. Wonderful, wonderful times. And films like this.
Well, I'd go backwards. Excuse me, I'd go backwards rather than forwards. But for me, I mean, I like a damn good comedy film. I love Carry On.
You can't whack a carry on, mate.
I just watch them. There was a guy that had the Tourette's thing. Bernard Breslau, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's. I don't know why. Norman Wisdom always used to make me laugh as a kid.
I've got a friend who's a massive Norman Wisdom fan.
Yeah. Well, I think, what's the...
Back to Richard Hawley.
This is so haunting, isn't it?
It's great. It's a great track. Mm. Again, I hadn't heard, not that much of it. He did a very nice quote for my first book, 10.
Yep.
Which he featured. There's three or four shots. Again, for the Cambridge Folk Festival. Mm-hmm. I met him briefly, top guy. And he did a wonderful quote, and he really liked the stuff that was featured in the book. But apart from that, I was a huge Pulp fan.
Yeah. See, for I never got into them.
Really?
No.
Well, they were the one of the best things to come out of the 90s, and that was a bag of bollocks, weren't it?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Totally.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, I never got into Pulp, and I can't confess to knowing a great shakes about Richard Hawley or his work.
Right.
But again, it's just one of those tracks that I visited, and I don't know what I was doing at the time. I can't remember, but whatever it was, it wasn't very energetic, was it?
Yeah.
Because you're not going to.
No.
It just takes. I build up a visual picture of this. Completely, I can understand exactly where he is and what he's on about, and I don't know where I picked it up from. I have no clue, because I'm not a massive radio listener either. If I'm honest, you know, I wouldn't.
I've got to ask the question: what do you do with your life?
I am.
I've now come to think.
I actually don't know, to be honest.
Tell me about your life. Where have you been for the last 50 years?
Where have I been for the last 50 years? Christ, we'd need longer than this, Nick. There's a lot gone down. There's a lot of places I shouldn't have been.
They still talk about that. They're putting up blue plaques for places you shouldn't have been.
Talking of blue plaques, I don't know if it was photoshopped in or what, but there's a picture of George Orwell's house appeared on social media with a blue plaque. What was above it? CCTV camera.
Marvellous.
Now whether somebody had chopped it in, I don't know. But I just thought the irony of it all.
Oh, definitely.
You know.
We got a bit of a thing about blue plaques, haven't we, in this country?
Yeah, absolutely.
Princess Diana walked down that street and buy a fucking paper, you know, the one that put a blue plaque.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Hey. Yeah.
Dear me.
See, this
good
is
track,
this is a bit that good, really good just track. Builds it, doesn't it?
I don't mind a bit of Richard.
Well, as I say, I don't know. I haven't got a great lot by him, but this track for me just sends me off somewhere.
I think he's a guy that he's Well, certainly the brief time I spent with him, and certainly since where I've seen him interviewed on shows and stuff like that, he's got something to say.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not just, we'll say, business propaganda. He's got something to say that he wants to say.
Yeah. I'll tell you another guy who I've got a lot of admiration for, and I actually do like his stuff, and that's David Gray.
Yeah.
You know, I really like it. He doesn't bring masses of stuff out and doesn't over-egg it, does he?
No.
That's the problem with...
Well, he was another guy that walked away from the labels,
didn't
he?
He did. Yeah. I believe he used to live in Norfolk somewhere, didn't he?
He did. A place called Stiffkey.
Stiffkey.
Right on the coast.
Yeah, I know it. That's got a bit of...
I think
of
he wrote...
There.
Either he wrote a fair bit of White Ladder there.
Or
he wrote his next album after White Ladder there.
Yeah.
One of the two, I'm not too sure. He doesn't live there anymore, though.
No, I understand he moved on. He got a little bit fed up with the locals, probably, I think, didn't he?
Is that what it was? I don't know.
I worked in Morstan.
Oh, yeah.
Just up the road.
Yeah.
And there was a guy, Toby. He was a chippy on there, carpenter. And his dad, you know the little green caravan, the artist, in Blakeney Harbour?
Yeah.
He's not there anymore. I think he's retired. Well, that was his dad. And they lived in Stiffkey. So he was telling me about...
David Gray,
yeah, the David Gray thing. I think he used to get stalked in the pub, and he's quite a shy guy, isn't he, really?
Yeah, he is.
Very shy.
Funny enough, I think now you mentioned it, I think I heard rumours to that effect.
Yeah.
He got pissed off with being...
Yeah, White Ladder's one of my favourite albums, by the way.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Very good.
I mean, I really doesn't... I don't have a big take. I will go anywhere. I like a bit of Keen, to be fair. Under an Iron Sea was a good album, I thought.
Did some editorial stuff with them a few years back.
I don't think he's writing much. Well, I think he's writing, but I don't think his stuff is anywhere near as good because he's. I think he's dried out and.
They were of a time, weren't they?
Yeah.
Tom Chaplin.
Yeah.
That's the guy.
Chaplin. As in Charlie. Funnily enough. A friend of mine went on Tipping Point, and that was one question he stumbled on. And I said, "You should have rung me, I'd have told you." But he won 10, he went on to win 10 grand, so he didn't do bad, did he?
Tipping Point, game show.
Yeah, it's one on in the afternoon. I'll tell you what it's like. I've never seen it, or have I seen it? I might have seen it once or twice. It's like the penny falls. They put discs in, they answer a question, put discs in.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
In the old amusement arcades.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what it's based on.
Bloody hell.
Quiz show.
Afternoon TV. Jesus God.
Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah.
I sometimes catch a bit of Judge Rinder.
Do you know, I couldn't even go down that
room. Me either.
Afternoon TV. I really couldn't.
I've got a neighbour that does nothing. She gets up in the morning, she puts TV on, and that's all she does.
Do you know, I've got a cousin like that.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you think, hell's teeth.
Yeah, I know.
How do you do that?
I couldn't do it. But I say I'll get bloody bored easy, so I'll be off the sofa and down the shed.
I don't have time for jack shit, to be honest.
No, I thought, well, I had a plan when I was 25, but it didn't include a lot of what I'm doing, to be
getting
fair.
Getting to 26, was that it?
26, yeah. No, I didn't live at 26.
I'll have a plan. I'll live till I'm 26.
Oh, yeah. Join the 26
club.
That'll
blow my head clean off.
There's a lot of poor buggers ain't got past 27, though, ain't there?
Bloody well is, man. It really is.
I don't know what all that's about.
Nor do I. I'm going to play another track. First track from another band that I also spent a lot of time listening to around about the time we kind of departed our relationship for a while. Bit of Uriah Heep.
Ah, yes, yeah.
Listened to a lot of these guys, early 70s.
Yeah.
Did some stuff with them. A couple of 3 years ago, Mick Box, the legendary Axeman. Still a good band.
Yeah.
Still a good band.
Yeah. You see, it's obviously the lifestyle. You follow the bikes and stuff like that. I mean, you've got to remember, I grew up in Yaxley. And if you remember...
Yaxley being that small little
that
village.
Small little village in Cambridgeshire. Yeah. Now, if you recall back in the day then, we had a motorcycle gang. I think they were called the Mad Axemen.
Yeah.
They didn't have a bike between them. I used to go.
What, Yaxley?
I used to go over on the bus.
I think I do remember.
I used to go over on the bus.
On the bus. All leathered up on the bus.
Absolutely.
On the 309. And then come in the Peterborough.
And then come Monday morning, and then be back to helping old ladies across.
Yeah. Jesus God, you're hospital porters.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah. Picture of respectability.
Yeah.
And I think they had I think we had a token skinhead. I mean, yeah, we did have a token skinhead. Yeah, we definitely did. But I think he was. I don't think he ever came out of his bedroom. I think he just used to tell people that he was a skinhead.
But, right.
And then I sort of went off. Well, my hair was almost down to my waist by that time, and I went off into town and discovered local bands. Really.
Of course, apart from you being a Yaxley lad. Yaxley is famous really for the small people.
Oh yes, absolutely.
Which is Warwick Davis. Yeah. The legend that Warwick, is Warwick Davis.
Warwick Davis.
I was very, very thrilled to meet a couple of years ago when we were, well, talking about doing a charity project together.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which had been really
nice, actually,
him and his lovely wife Sam.
That's it, yeah. Well, Sam,
who still live just outside?
They live in Home Village now.
Yeah, they do.
Which is about 3 miles from Yaxley. I remember them coming. I remember Sam's family coming to the village because they bought my gran's shop.
Oh right.
It was a general store.
Yeah.
Down the bottom of the village, and my gran had retired. Was retiring, so she sold the shop and moved just up the road and. Can't think what Pete's dad's name was, but they came to the village anyway. Pete was a young lad then, and he got into acting with Charlie Drake.
Oh, okay.
He used to do pantomime and stuff with him, and that's how he got into acting. Then he formed an agency for small people.
Yeah.
And then Warwick obviously met Sam through his acting.
Well, I think, if I'm not mistaken, because I had this discussion with Warwick, I think it was Sam's father that went to school with us.
Yeah, I think Pete did, but he's a good bit older than us.
Were they older?
Yeah. I think Pete's closer to my sister's age, man. My sister would be 60, she wouldn't be very happy me telling you, but she's 69.
Right, okay.
So, because there's 8 years difference between us.
Right.
Oh, no. She went through the 60s and totally missed it. Went over her head.
Okay.
you know, it was sad, really. But no, it didn't. So I'm guessing Pete would be about 69, 70.
Yeah, I think they were definitely the ones that, or that generation were the ones that went to school with us, just after that.
I still see him on occasion. He's still a comedian. He's still a really nice bloke, to be fair. I haven't seen Warwick for a long time.
2 years ago was when
I
saw Warwick.
He's quite busy now, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's always got his face somewhere, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has.
He's done absolutely really magnificent, really.
Which ones were in Star Wars?
That's Warwick.
Is that Warwick's family, is it?
Yeah, that's Warwick's. I'm just trying to think what else he was in. He was in that thing with Ricky Gervais, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He did that thing. I think somebody told me he's doing a game show at the minute, but I'm not sure.
Don't know.
So, as we've already established, I don't watch a lot of telly anyway, so...
No, and I ain't got the time in the afternoon, so who would fucking know?
Get your feet up for a bit of Neighbours.
Neighbours. Jesus, God.
I've seen a stick pins in my eyes.
Australian TV, outside Paul Hogan, it just didn't work, did it?
No, it didn't.
Not at all. Paul Hogan worked, I was a big fan of Paul Hogan.
Yeah, me too. Friday night, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was.
Friday night. Yeah, Friday night.
No, bloody show. Great show, Paul Hogan show.
Yeah, it was.
Absolutely wonderful.
I think a lot of the shows that followed that, the area, Ari Enfield and Chums, I think a lot of that was a spin-off from that. They'd probably tell me I'm completely wrong, but I don't know. But it used to be compulsive viewing Friday nights.
It
was on at the right time, weren't it? Because you were pissed as well.
Yeah, you were, yeah.
So it didn't matter whether it didn't work, did
you
it?
Probably still are most Friday nights. No?
On occasion. No.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Right. No, I'm not sure.
Okay. Let's do a bit of this.
I do like a drink. I do like a drink, without a shadow of a doubt. Which is why I don't drink tea and coffee. So...
Now this track...
Oh, lovely.
Have a guess who? Unless you'd know it, you'd be surprised, because I was.
No, you're going to have to fill me in. It's not Liam Gallagher, I know that.
I didn't even know they covered this.
Who is it?
Beach Boys.
Is it?
It is, really.
No, I didn't.
I never knew that. It's old. Very old. I think it's 60s, 64. I could be wrong there.
Yeah, I'll tell you another thing about the Beach Boys. I didn't realise that Glen Campbell stepped into the
Oh, yeah.
When Brian Wilson was poorly.
Yeah.
I didn't realise that until, bless him, he died.
Yeah.
Which surprised me. But he was a session man, wasn't he?
Yes, he was, yeah. He was a Beach Boy for a while.
Yeah, I didn't realise.
Yeah.
No, it came up when he died, bless his heart.
Well, so, I was... watching a programme, it was, it's pretty much like VH1, I'll tell you what it is, it's called Vintage TV.
Yeah.
Which I really, really love. But it literally just loops VT, back to back, right through the night. And I caught a bit of this particular programme, and they featured this. There's a video and everything.
Is it really?
Yeah. And I thought, of course, man, that's good.
Yeah, it is good. It is good.
The original was good.
Yeah.
But I think this is better.
Yeah. The
harmonies and the rest of it, Beach Boys style.
I mean, now you've actually pointed it out. You can probably, I could probably pick it out. I could probably tell you.
Yeah.
But without you saying, I wouldn't have picked it out. But what a band, anyway, the Beach Boys. Pet Sounds.
Yeah, brilliant.
Absolutely wicked.
Wonderful.
Absolutely wicked. And I believe an inspiration for Sergeant Pepper's, wasn't it?
I think they were, yeah.
I think they pretty much said, well, look, we've got to do something about this. Which is a good album as well, Sergeant Pepper. I love it.
Yeah. Featured a couple of tracks off that in previous shows.
Have you?
Yeah.
For the Benefit of Mr. Kite is one of my favourites on that. It's just, you can just see Lennon, can you, writing that? I really like that.
I heard it and I thought, I'm going to feature that on one of the shows, one of the night ins, and I bought it there and then.
Yeah.
I thought, bloody hell, really good.
Do you get out to see many bands, Nick?
Wonderful.
You're still out travelling and watching?
I'm travelling. I don't do a lot of watching. It's usually work.
Yeah.
Christ almighty, I can't remember the last time I actually went to see a band. Mm. I get invited all the time, but I don't go really, Kev. I wouldn't even entertain paying for anything. You know, it's, I know that sounds a bit, you know, kind of off.
Well,
but...
to be fair, though, it's hard to get tickets these days. It must be block selling, surely.
Well, I know it's expensive.
It is expensive. It is expensive. And that's another thing that puts me off it as well. I think somebody was telling me Fleetwood Mac was 200 odd quid.
Stupid money. Yeah, I know.
Ridiculous. Would I go and see him? No, I don't think I would, because I like Fleetwood Mac, but I like Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, me too.
That was my era.
Again, a couple of weeks ago, I had a friend round and we had a couple of nights in. Again, Mickey Steed, and we played a bit of Fleetwood Mac, but P Green, same thing.
Yeah.
But not 250 quid to see a fucking banjo off your head.
That man of the world, though, Peter Green, man of the world. Fuck, he was in a state, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He must have been. I've seen him a few times with that Nigel Watson, the Splinter Band.
But, yeah.
But then he went off the scene again. I don't know what happened to him.
I did some stuff with him, I don't know, probably 204, 203, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And
so you're still around?
Well, no, not so much. Not so much. The when I picked up on that tour, I think it was kind of one of the very early ones where he actually came out.
Right.
Because he hadn't been very well, blah, blah, blah. And then, funnily enough, a book publisher contacted me, my studio, a couple of weeks ago. And they're doing a Pete Green book and wanted to feature some real images. Yeah, so
really,
the guy shipped over some stuff and the rest of it, you know, so...
I did hear, or did I read it, I don't know, that he was living quite a bit of his time in Switzerland or somewhere, I don't know, man.
But, don't know.
But he was, yeah, that was my era anyway, Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac. And
he's always been doing his own, you know, his own ride, hasn't he, wherever ride may be.
Yeah, I mean, I caught him about three or four times. He was out with his, say, the Splinter, Peter Green Splinter Band.
Yeah.
And generally, they were playing alongside John Mann and the Blues Breakers.
Yeah.
They pretty much toured together.
Yeah.
And I saw him two or three times there.
I think John Mann was on the Bill in that night.
Was he?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure.
I know they used to go. And, I mean, he's still touring. He must be well in his 70s,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah, he's an old guy. He's an old guy.
But I used to enjoy it. But to be fair, I can't remember the last gig I went to, in fairness. Maybe been to one or two locals, but not. Don't know, to be honest. Can't remember. Morrison, maybe at Thetford.
Don't worry about that. We'll have to pick up on that at a later stage,
mate.
Yeah, okay. When you come back and have another night in.
All right, matey.
Been great to see you again, Kev.
And you, Nick.
Wonderful. Stay safe.
Cheers,
mate.
Buddy.
Catch you soon.
A Night In is brought to you by Ashwood Music.